Hopefully he is smiling. Did you change your noise, Mika?
Hello, Philip. This is Scott Schneider at 11 Shea Lane in Tinton Falls. I'd like to schedule the sprinkler closing and winterization. Phone number 732-500-3848.
Hi guys, can anyone hear me?
Yep, hi, loud and clear. Okay.
Great, thank you. I was not sure I would make it.
Glad you made it in time. We're really looking forward to your presentation, Mariana.
Thank you. Thank you, Rose.
Yeah. We'll start in about 5 minutes once we'll have time to sign in. So just everyone who's here, glad that you're here early. Just mute your mics and we'll get started in about 4 minutes.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Thank you. Hi everyone, this is Rose here. Glad you are already joining us. We'll get started in 2 minutes, so looking forward to our presentation very soon. Hi, everyone. This is Rose Schumann. I'm the chair of the public sector working group, as I think most of you know at this point, and essentially the person who guides the flow of the call. It's 2 past the hour, so why don't we get started? First, I'm going to read a bit of information from Linux Foundation that has to be read at the beginning of every call about antitrust. And once that's over, we can dive right in with a round of introductions so we know who's here. But without further ado, the antitrust policy notice: Linux Foundation meetings involve participation by industry competitors, and it is the intention of the Linux Foundation to conduct all of its activities in accordance with applicable antitrust and competition laws. It is therefore extremely important that attendees adhere to meeting agendas and be aware of and not participate in any activities that are prohibited under applicable U.S. state, federal, or foreign antitrust and competition laws. Examples of types of actions that are prohibited at Linux Foundation meetings and in connection with Linux Foundation activities are described in the Linux Foundation antitrust policy available at linuxfoundation.org/antitrust-policy. If you have questions about these matters, please contact your company counsel, or if you're a member of the Linux Foundation, feel free to contact Andrew Updegrove of the firm Gesber Updegrove LLP, which provides legal counsel to the Linux Foundation. And so, without any further ado, we can now open the meeting, and looking forward to a very interesting and exciting presentation from UN Moldova. But first, let's go around and just see who's here. If anybody would like to introduce themselves, that would be great. So why don't we go around, make a round of introductions. Thanks.
Hi, this is Alan Thurlow from IBM.
Hi, Scott Schneider from Information Builders.
Ken White from the Boston Fed.
Bobby Mascara, Ledger Academy.
Mariana Gurgis, UNDP Moldova, MyLab.
Would anybody else like to introduce themselves before we jump into things?
John Jordan from Province of BC.
Hi, I'm Tsubasa from UN Environment.
Tony Hussein from iForma.
Great. Anybody else want to introduce themselves before we jump in? Okay. Well, thanks to everybody who introduced themselves, and thanks to everybody who's here. I'm Rose Schumann. I'm the chair of this group, aka the person who directs the traffic. So without further ado, we're just going to dive into our agenda today. We're going to open with a pretty exciting presentation from UN Moldova on fleet management via blockchain. We're then going to chat about the upcoming Hyperledger Global Forum and get some input about questions that we feel like should be posed to the panelists. The two panels, there were descriptions shared. Three, Walid El Sayed from Four Eyes suggested a conversation topic a while back, and we can go into it, which is about Hyperledger Composer to fold into Fabric. If there's interest, we can talk about it. And then just some admin and checking in on just the group. Specifically, it looks like we might need to find a new volunteer to upload presentations to the wiki, unless Kumar is here, but haven't seen him lately. So it'd be great to check in on that and find somebody else who might want to share that with him. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to UN Moldova. Please take it away.
Thank you. It was a very nice presentation. I did not know that UN Moldova and particularly fleet management system is such an interesting solution on blockchain. Well, I will be very brief. Let me share the screen with you with the presentation that we have. Do you see it? Just let me know if you can see it. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, right now it's not in presentation mode yet, but we do see your screen.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I will give you a short context. So why did we need a fleet management system? Well, UN uses a number of cars as support for UN agencies and the projects and their operation. The cars are managed by different UN agencies in Moldova. So there is UNDP, UN Women, so on and so forth. And in some instances, there are projects that have cars and projects that don't have cars, like my lab, Moldova Innovation Lab, we don't have a car. Some agencies, some projects, as ours, as I mentioned, because we don't have cars, we require them for any kind of transportation for official purposes. That means that in most cases, we use taxi services, which is firstly costly, and secondly, it doesn't make the most out of the fleet that we have at UN. So we decided that we actually wanted to mix two things together, to have a very comprehensive and robust information on how the cars in UN agencies are used and projects are used, and whether there is a need to have that amount of cars in our fleet, or if we can make it more efficient. And to also ask the concept of blockchain. So UN was interested in Moldova Social Innovation Lab because we are experimenting around with new technologies in public sector. We were eager to jump into this initiative, into this pilot, and test how blockchain would work for UN Moldova, firstly, and then secondly, see how that could be scaled up to the government level. The challenges that we had at that time was that we were lacking a centralized booking system, a universal card.
Mariana, yep. Sorry so much to interrupt. This is Rose. Do you mind switching to presentation mode? We see office timeline and
okay. The rest. Okay, is that okay?
That's perfect. Thank you so much. Yeah.
So, when somebody was in need for a car, the most usual thing that he or she was doing is just give a call to the driver or send him an email. And you can imagine that from time to time you would need a car, and I don't know, you would actually need a car for 3 p.m., but it's 2 p.m. or it's 2:30, and the driver is somewhere on his way to another meeting, and there was this lack of information centralized somewhere, so that people would actually know if there is a car available or not. So in many cases, it was a very burdensome mobilization of a car when you needed to leave the city. So if you have a meeting outside of the capital, that would mean that you would have to actually plan it a couple of days ahead. And if you would need that, you'd probably have to rent a car or rent the car and the driver from an agency, not an UN agency, but a private company that is offering you that kind of service. Well, there are cars in UN, there were cars in UN that were just idle. So they were just not used by the people who have them in their as their assets. So that was kind of the challenge that we had at that moment. What we actually put on paper before looking into the solution is we mapped the process, and we discovered three types of users that would have in the system, in the solution. We would have a client, a driver, and somebody from finance would actually approve if one of the requests is cost efficient. Here you see a situation where, for example, there is someone from, let's say I'm from my lab, it's a project of UNDP. If we don't have a car and I would like to book a request for a car, and the driver from UNDP, that would be a renting type of request. In this case, I would have to pay or the project would have to pay to UNDP a certain amount of money for the for that ride. The same happens if there is a car available and the driver available from a different agency, and I would book it from a different agency. So this is this was one of the things that we considered as an as the advantage, as we have not physically all the cards in one fleet and administratively, but we can use the services of a different agency or project via some cost sharing. Well, every time you have, so we have two types of requests. You have the regular requests where you actually work for the project or for the agency that you are taking it, the car from, or you have the renting type of requests. If you don't work for them, but you need the car, that means that you rent it. In cases where you it's a regular type of request, you have the data logged on blockchain in two instances, and it's the first one when the request was created and initiated, and in the end when it was actually done and closed. But in the second type of request, like renting requests, you would actually log on blockchain the data at every change of status. So if your request has shifted from one status to another, every time it has changed its status, you have it locked on blockchain. So how does it work? Another thing that we were discovering and we were thinking that would be an advantage of the system is to reduce the costs of sharing the cars. And because we have people from various projects working together on various initiatives, from the country office working, for example, with one of the projects, and they have joint meetings with their counterparts. We had to join an existing PREEP as always as the first option. So you basically put in the date, the time, or the date and the address that where you would like to go, and you'd see who else is going or has already created that request. And you'll just join them, and you don't have to make an additional request. Therefore, you will have the project or the agency will have less expenses in terms of fuel consumed and other things that would be needed, and the time of the driver, which is also a very important task for him, because drivers in our case don't just perform the role of drivers, but sometimes they drive documents to the bank, or they perform various chores when those are needed. Just a second. Okay. How does it work? So we have the app, which is available for the driver, and we have a desk, a web application, which is available for everyone who wants to join it. And at this stage, we are piloting the solution together with the country office, Moldova UNDP country office, and some projects in UNDP. So every time you make a request, the driver receives a notification. He can see his actual schedule every morning or at every time of the day. He can call the passengers if somebody is late. He puts in the data, the odometer values when he starts a trip, so on and so forth. So every stage of the trip is registered. In cases where something happens to the car or there is a need to split actually that request into and split and forward that request to some other driver because of various situations, the driver can perform it using the app that he has on his phone. So he just taps on one button, and this is very simple. He just inputs a message, a short message, why he or she should forward that request to somebody else. In terms of reports, because this is also something that we were thinking that would generate the data that we were lacking, so we wanted to have a very comprehensive report on the consumption of fuel, on the usage of cars, on the workload, on the drive of drivers. So what we have is the reports on vehicles, on drivers, And the most interesting part, I think, is the mutual consent or the mutual settlement report. So basically, the agency or projects, they don't have to pay for every transportation request that they have made. They pay only for the difference, and it's set for a certain period. For example, if we, like agency to agency or agency to project, we set a period of every 3 months or every 6 months. Then we look into the data and we just see if I'm from UNDP and I have used, I don't know, $4, this is just some mock-up data that we have here. Let's say I have used $500 request in the amount of $500, and UN Women has used requests in the amount of $100. You only pay the difference. So UN Women pays UNDP $100. Some things and figures, some data that we have on the piloting period. This was from one of the presentations that I had in July, is that we have, I think right now, more than 1,000 overall requests created. We have both regular requests and rent type requests. Our drivers, we can actually see the cost of overtime travel of the drivers. We have the value of rent requests and all the data on the cars. What happens to them if they go into the car shop every time they need to go to the to put in some more fuel, so on and so forth. So even if the driver is on leave, we can see that in the system. So you cannot select the driver because he's on leave and he's officially unavailable. So the driver can detach or attach himself to the car every time he wants or needs it. This is basically it in a couple of words. If it made sense, or if you have any questions, just feel free to share them.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Mariana, for sharing this overview. And in the chat boxes here, we've already got some questions going. So I encourage those who've been putting some questions in the chat box to turn on your mics and ask, and let's get the conversation going. All right, everybody is politely waiting. I'm going to go in order of people responding. You can always, of course, decide.
We also I just forgot to mention, I have a colleague online who is responsible, who is the ICT assistant at UNDP country office. So he's the one also helping me. And he's actually the one behind all the technical stuff. And he could answer, because I can see a couple of technical questions here, he could answer more about on the technical aspects of the system.
Great. John, is that you?
Yeah. So it's John from Canada. We were just, you know, sort of standard questions. Maybe you can tell us a bit about the conversations and thinking around the technology you chose. I'm not sure which blockchain technology. I'm assuming since it's Hyperledger, maybe Hyperledger Fabric. And then also I was curious about if you are running like a blockchain network, kind of a little bit about the governance of that on the human side.
I'll let my colleague to cover me on that. Gabriel?
Hello?
Yes, hi, Gabriel.
Yep, we can hear you.
Yes, hi, also, hi. And also, someone who might be typing maybe should consider muting. And Gabriel, it'd be great to hear your answer as well as a quick introduction from yourself.
Yeah, I'm Gabriel. So I'm ICT Service Delivery Coordinator in UNDP Moldova. I'm working together with Mariana on this project. And I can say a little bit about the technology, because the product is developed by another company and it's not yet finished. So about the blockchain technology, it's, as I already said, it's Hyperledger Fabric, an open source project. So we have PHP on the server side together with Node.js, and on the client side we have a TypeScript here. Everything works on Ubuntu server together with Docker containers. And what else can I say is that now the whole infrastructure stays on a kind of virtual machine. And in future, we would like to move everything to our offices. I mean, to have these nodes on separate locations. So each agency should have a node. And finally, we'll have a full picture of this concept done, working, and hopefully we will provide a new feedback regarding the technology. Now, at the moment, unfortunately, it's not yet finished. But what can I say? That, as you already know, that it's a private blockchain, so we don't think about anything public. Now, it's not the case, and we were interested in this technology, and using this project, we had a big goal to test it, to see how it works, and to use it in our similar project, maybe for our partners, for our development partners, for other, I don't know.
For the government as well. If I might jump in here, is that it's the first blockchain-based project in the Republic of Moldova. Certainly, there was no company at that moment who actually had experience working with blockchain. There were several people, if you may call them influencers, who were trying to speak publicly a lot about the technology and the potential of it. But none of them actually had the experience in working practically with blockchain. So, because I can see a question here, name of the company that did the development and implementation. I would actually say that it doesn't really depend on the name of the company. It depends on the experience that they have. In our case, it was DeepPlace. It's an ICT, a local ICT company. But the road to where we are right now was pretty heavy and bumpy from time to time because of their lack of experience. And because of, in some cases, because of our only theoretical experience on how a blockchain-based system should work. And we, of course, we have seen the environment where a lot of people who are interested in blockchain, we have seen it developing in the last year or maybe even less than a year. We have several startups here in Moldova that work also externally in Netherlands or in other countries, European countries, that provide blockchain solutions, open source blockchain solutions. So we, at the moment the contract was signed and the company was selected, we were in a different setting. Currently, if I was to have a screening of the companies that actually work with blockchain, and probably maybe, I don't know, we have a greater pool of companies where to choose from. So the reason why blockchain, as I was mentioning in the beginning, of course, we can use any type of decentralized database. The idea was to test how the technology is working internally. We have a government which is hosting MyLab and which is the implementing partner of MyLab. And we are located in the center of the government. Of course, that is a thread of trust which is built between us and them. And we were thinking that blockchain showcasing the experience that we have with blockchain would actually build some kind of trust of the government in the blockchain solution and solutions, not just this one, but everything else that concerns blockchain solutions and is applied to how the government is performing in terms of services and policies. Sorry. Hope that answered your questions.
That's great. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks for that. I see some questions in the chat box from Tony Hussein. Gabriel, are you able to read the questions in the chat box?
Yes, Rose, I think I just mentioned them. I answered them. The place says the company. No, it's okay. I was just multitasking at this time of a Friday evening.
Sorry, it's a Friday evening for me too. And
I know. It's fine.
All right. So does anybody want to follow up on anything that Mariana very efficiently went through in terms of questions? Okay, I'll ask a question. What has been the reception from the government side of this solution in terms of their response and interest? And how are you talking? How are those conversations with them going?
So the government knows about this solution. At this time, they are not that open to testing the technology internally because we are heading into the elections period, which is quite a tricky period here in Chisinau. We are having national elections in a new format in February next year, and almost all public entities are already preparing for all that is going to happen during this fall and beginning of winter. As generally solution, as a fleet management system, if it concerns it, we see potential for the system not only from the perspective of the government, but also from other agencies or other country offices in the region that would be interested in testing. So the problem on using the car fleet is pretty common to, I think, most of the countries that I am aware of. And testing something that nobody has tested before is quite intriguing to other offices. But let's see how it goes. At this time, what we intend to do is to have a successful piloting period and see how we manage to transfer all that we have into our machines or find a different solution to that. Because as I was mentioning in the beginning, this was something that was came up as a project on testing the technology. And maybe was not really, not a lot of thinking was put into, okay, so after testing, what do we do next? So this is, we are right now in the period of piloting it and also trying to identify what are the next steps. Selling it to the government, of course, would be, well, selling it not in terms of money, but selling it as a product that would help them be more transparent and efficient would of course be a great opportunity to us.
Thanks for that context, Mariana.
Welcome.
Very helpful. I encourage everybody here who's on the call to think about perhaps some of the dynamics that you all are facing in your own projects and wonder if perhaps you guys might be able to have a bit of a conversation about either the dynamics you guys are facing on your projects, and maybe Mariana and Gabrielle could provide some of their own experience or ask some questions about how they navigated some of these implementations and see if that might be similar to what you've experienced. So encouraging people to chat either through the chat box or to use the mic. I'm going to presume then that everybody's questions were answered, and that they had sort of similar questions to Tony and John's. But this has been actually a really interesting and exciting presentation to see how UNDP is really using blockchain and taking it to the forefront, and also handling some of the risks involved of trying out new technologies. So I suppose, unless you feel like it's already been pretty well covered, how, I guess is my final question is, how do you, because you're doing two new things at once here, right? You're using both blockchain and you're reorganizing how the fleet is getting managed. And how, in terms of the partnerships between the agencies, do you get them to come on board when you've got, I guess, risk of two new types of things happening at the same time, both the new technology and the new type of program? How did you mitigate that feeling of risk?
Well, I think the good thing over here is that the heads of agencies that are testing the technology and the system are pretty open and have a pretty moderate, but also interested, pretty moderate appetite for risk. But also they are interested in identifying new solutions that they could potentially use in other projects with their counterparts. I guess in the very beginning, and not I guess, but it was like this. So in the very beginning, the whole process started as a joint initiative. Therefore, it was easier for us to have people on board at the piloting stage, because they were also present during the initial stages where we identified the problems, we were looking into the data, and we saw that we are lacking some of the things that we need in terms of efficiency and transparency, and not just that. And of course, I think the good thing about the system is that we didn't perform any changes as in structure internally, because we did not put all the cars into one fleet physically. They still belong to agencies or projects. It's just that their time is shared with other agencies or other projects when it is needed. And this is a good thing, because both projects and agencies can recover some of the costs that they have experienced when buying the cars or when paying the driver his monthly salary.
In the case when, say, people from two different agencies discover they can share the car, does it simply bill to the agency whose car it is, as if only one person had used it, but you just have an efficiency in terms of gas and car time saved?
Exactly.
Got it. Oh. Very, very cool.
Hello?
Yes, please?
It's Guoli Li here. Here, I have a question for Mariana. So usually in government, for example, the fleet request for a car needs some approval. This is the nature for the public sector. I'm just wondering, in this project, is some approval process considered, or the approval process happened outside the project? And if blockchain technology can accommodate this kind of requirement?
Yes, I got your question. So the thing is that for regular type of requests, we made the system as decentralized as possible. So most of the power goes to the driver. He, on regular type of requests, he's the one that approves the request or not. On the ones that involve costs, like renting type of requests, those ones have an additional layer of validation, which is from the project manager. So in cases where I work for MyLab and the car is owned by MyLab and I need the car to go to a meeting, I'm the one that is meeting the request. and the driver is accepts the request, you can see it in the system. It's transparent, it's available for everyone, so no additional validation is needed, except for the thing is that when the request is actually completed, I'm the one validating that the request was actually done. In renting type of requests, I'm submitting a request. The request is goes to the level plus one and goes to the driver. So there is another layer of validation which ensures us with the fact that the one in charge is knows about the cost that will be shared or the cost that will be experienced by the project or by the agency when the car is rented.
So this extra layer of approval is happening outside the system, or is not on the chain?
Excuse me, I didn't hear you. So outside of what?
So my question is, this extra layer of approval is in the system? Recorded.
It's in the system. It's in the system.
It's recorded on the chain?
Yes. Because the request changes its status. So it's first, it's you can create a request, then you can initiate a request. Oh no, yeah, so you can have an accepted request, you have a request in progress, so on and so forth. So when the request is accepted, that means that it has passed through all the layers of approval.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Would anybody else want to raise any final questions for the UN team in Moldova?
Yes, this is Leonard Edwin. Sorry, I joined the call lately. I did hear quite a lot of of the presentation. It is very good, and my only question is, now that you have a lot of lessons learned from such a project whereby you first had to learn the technology well, understand it, and then work with your techno and partner to implement or enable a solution on blockchain, which is always new for everyone, even the technologists who are designing the technology stack, what would you do different the second time round based on lessons learned?
A very good question. This is what I'm asking myself like almost every week. A lot of things that we would do different. I think if I jump into answering this question, I will just, it will take me more than an hour from now. Let me promise you this. I'm currently working on a blog, which will incorporate the things that I would do different if I would start it all over again. And I will share it with everyone in the group if that is okay with you.
That would be a wonderful response. We look forward. I'm sure, Rose, you would be to accepting that report and sharing it with all of us. Thank you so much indeed. But a great job done. I looked at the presentation slides and the client experiences from the ability to select different type of reports, and it looks to perform very well. So again, thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Yes, Rose here. That would be great if once that blog is up, if you could email that just to the entire email list. If everybody here did everybody receive the agenda this week? That went out to know about the call. I mean, if somehow you came here, so I'm presuming perhaps you got the email, but it would just be good to confirm to make sure the email list is working.
Yes, I received it.
Great. All right, or maybe did anybody not receive it? If you didn't receive it, please let me know. Cool, thanks, John. Okay, all right. Yeah, so Mariana, when your blog is ready, you could pass it through to me, but you can actually just send it directly to the entire group as everyone is briefed on it now. And that would be great. And it's a good reminder actually to everybody else that if you have things to share, this is everybody's email list and everybody's chat on the Rocket chat. So don't be shy about using those to share information or ask questions. It definitely isn't my list. So everyone should just post whatever they want and turn it into their discussion to the extent that that's interesting to them. All right. One last opportunity to give some, you know, feedback or questions, but this has been, I think, a very exciting deployment and really appreciative, Mariana and Gabrielle, for your sharing this experience with fleet management.
So. Thank you, Rose. And if I might just jump in, if any one of you have suggestions on or ideas on what we could do next, please share them with us.
That would probably be great. When you're saying what to do next, I mean, I wonder, because we do have people on the phone here, maybe they'll get their thoughts together fast, but sometimes we need to think a bit for giving advice. When you're saying what to do next, what do you mean exactly?
In terms of, I don't know, because we understand scale up to the government, this is the most typical way that we can jump into. But maybe there is something else that we did not consider while developing the system, and we should have, or maybe just thoughts on how we can improve it.
Hi, Mariana, this is Leonard again. Have you approached the government or worked with any of their, you might say, groups within government to understand what some of their use cases and pain points might be in terms of their interest to find solutions, be it blockchain or otherwise, so that you can gauge what, based on the skill sets and what you've learned, the knowledge that you now have, how you could probably assist them in providing capabilities based on blockchain, based on these use cases. Do you have any that have been already defined with government that you've probably done on your own, or probably with government help? In that way, we could have a look at them and then work collaboratively with you to provide, you might say, some more feedback and recommendations which you can either take or share with government, with your government in Moldova, to bring it to fruition. So that could be an approach. I'm just wondering if you do already have some use cases that you'd like to share with us, we could review and start the collaboration process this way.
Thank you, Leonard. We are working currently on one of the use cases. Once we have it and we have to consult it with the government, I will let you know and we can share them, of course.
That is if no non-confidential agreements are signed with the government.
Yeah, exactly.
Privacy. So it was...
Okay, you got me. Yeah, well, if everything goes well and the government is interested in what we are trying to pitch right now, I will let you know.
That's very good, very generous of you. Well, thanks again.
In our case, Moldova's government is not the best case of a transparent institution, and you understand that moving things around is pretty complicated. So for us, it's quite a challenge.
Yes, it is, and we do understand that, because transparency within government is always opaque. It's never clear. Yes, but we sometimes have to hold their hands because it's very new technology for them, and there's always that trust and fear and the risk factors which need to be mitigated. So a job well done. It's the start. Everything is evolving. We thank you for sharing, and yeah, let's be more collaborative and see how we can help each other. Thanks so much, very much again.
Thanks.
Great. Thanks again, Mariana and Gabrielle. Would we be able to have a copy of your slide deck? Is that shareable? It would sit on our wiki.
Sure.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you be able to send it in an email to the listserv?
Okay.
That would be great. Thank you so much.
Yes. You're welcome.
All right. A virtual round of applause to to my lab and UN Moldova for being brave. Yes, clap, clap, for really going out and testing in the real world this fleet management blockchain technology. So thank you. So without further ado, I suggest we move on to the next item on our agenda. But if anybody would like to recommend we change the order or add something on the agenda, then this would be a good time to do so. Okay, sounds good. All right, so number two is actually an item that's been pushed back as our discussions and presentations have all been quite engaging, but is about the Hyperledger Global Forum. So if you refer to the agenda that was sent around recently this week, there are two panels happening at the forum, and it would be very good to get all of your inputs into what sorts of questions you would like to make sure get asked to the panelists so that the thinking of this group is really reflected there at the forum. So would it be helpful if I read or if somebody read the descriptions, or actually, you know what, I can just paste it in the chat. That would probably be better than you listening to me read. I'm going to post into the chat right now the descriptions of the two panels, which is a bit hard to read in the chat, but at least it gives you a sense. They cut it off. Okay, that they didn't think it was a good idea that I post that much in the chat, so much for that idea. But I guess first one is on Hyperledger in the Global South. And you can read the preamble to that, and I'll try to get the rest of that text in there so you can read the entire description of that panel. Once you've read it through, it'd be great to just get some ideas from folks about what you'd like to see raised as issues. Or to even open a discussion right now about what is this panel even about. Okay, to give a quick context on it, this panel is about global South countries around the world that are using Hyperledger and blockchain solutions to pioneer enterprise-grade blockchain solutions and government processes to promote various sorts of transparency and accountability. And this panel has got a couple of different examples of ways that blockchain is being deployed specifically in a global South context to solve particular urban issues of citizenship and democracy, land and real estate markets, infrastructure, and public services, exchange of total value, financial, non-financial governance, and finance. So that's actually a fairly exhaustive list of basically half, or at least a good portion of things government does. It'd be great to hear from anybody about what sorts of topics definitely should be there in terms of this sort of discussion. Okay, thanks, Tony. So you're saying what seems to be missing is a global business and architecture model. That's an interesting point. I'd love to hear more from you or from anybody else about that comment. So what is a global business model in folks' mind here?
or a global architecture model. What exactly does that mean?
This is Leonard here again. Could I ask Tony to clarify a little for the audience? Because you can look at it in many different perspectives. A global model, political, business, governmental. So Tony, can you please clarify further as to what it is you would like answered in your query? For your query?
So from your comment, Tony, it says that the groups are working independently. So you see that they're, I guess one word that comes up a lot is siloed or fragmented. In a meeting, got it. Thank you for listening in, even though you're in a meeting. That's dedication, thanks. Siloed, okay. So thinking about how could we break across silos when we're in different countries and on different topics? Is there any way to cut across those? Is that right? Okay, would anybody else wanna drop a point in that would be great to put in the mix for this panel?
Well, this is Leonard again. I think the old saying is always true, right? It always seems to work, divide and conquer. If you can't eat the entire pie in one go, you can cut it into small chunks or pieces and attempt it one piece at a time. It's always a huge problem. As a consultant, I find that sometimes you need to be even more collaborative by formulation of some subgroups that can tackle different aspects. And say one subgroup per silo. Look at industry verticals, for example. You may be doing with dealing with trade finance at the same time, loans administration at the same time, mutual funds. They are related, but they are siloed at the same time. And the requirements, meaning the business requirements for each, can vary. And with that also is the exposure, the communication requirements, the development of trust between your clients and the actual team on ground doing the work or soliciting feedback and documenting and sharing and agreeing requirements. So it's a very big task, always fraught with pitfalls and the various risks and challenges. So yes, I would try and simplify the problem by breaking it into, you might say, relative or respective subgroups or subteams to look at each, and then we can come together and get a more holistic picture of what the overall set of requirements might be, because there may be some overlaps. And usually there's usually overlaps in solutions and technologies at the same time. So yes, we divide and conquer. Each group reports back. We then at a higher level review, synergize, minimize, fully understand, having the client involved at all stages, and then getting their feedback and input that we are on the right track and we've understood correctly. And try and adopt an agile process, because waterfall doesn't work anymore. You can't have just one set of requirements acquired in 2 weeks or a month and think nothing is going to change and everything is down pat and well understood. It's never that way. So that's my initial response. Hope that helps.
Point. Yes, that's a great point, Leonard. And in the spirit of being agile, actually, looking forward to, since we're down to our last 4 minutes on this meeting, so we'll probably have to table the second panel, but encourage anyone to submit more ideas or questions through either the chat or the email list. For our next call on October 26, it is to be confirmed, but it's looking like we may have a representative from USAID participating and presenting. That will be confirmed. Presuming we're going to have that call, I'm going to be on an airplane. So I won't be able to serve the function of directing traffic and organizing the flow of the call.
Would anybody else that day like to take that role and serve as MC of the call on the 26th? Whoever it is, I'd be happy to chat in advance with you and just go through the steps. It's pretty much a pretty similar flow every call, so I'm sure anybody here who's been on them would recognize the drill. thanks, Tony, for the nice comment that I'm an excellent MC. I appreciate that. But maybe in 2 weeks, somebody else might have an opportunity to take that role for that call. Would anybody be interested? Okay, well, we'll keep thinking about that, and I'll raise it in the email list and see if somebody who's on the broader list might want to do it for the 26th. So we'll watch that conversation. Thank you, Marcus. Appreciate your comment that you would support if you were able to make it that week. So we'll bring the discussion over to the email list chat about what we want to do about the 26th in general, and see if anybody would like to coordinate that one, or do we want to skip it and just push along until the week after, or two weeks after that. So we'll figure it out as a group collectively, and it will be a great choice, I'm sure, that will make sense either way. But on that note, I think we're pretty much at time. Appreciate again the presentation from Mariana and also the inputs from everybody on one of the panels for the forum. We'll just keep going on those conversations on the email and the Rocket chat threads. And if somebody would be so kind as to volunteer to put these slides up on the wiki, as Kumar.
Hi, Rose, has- Bobby.
Hi, Bobby. You want
to
jump
in? I will definitely volunteer to do that. I do need some direction on that, so I'll get together with you after the call or just send you an email to just let you know what I need to get started.
Sure, that'd be great. Actually, in the spirit of collaborative help, does anybody here know how to post things on the wiki and would be willing to tell Bobby how to do it? Okay, it'd be good if more of us
I'll get as far as I can, and then I'll email you my question.
Okay, or maybe let's email it to the group on the email chain, because I think it'd be helpful for everybody to learn how to use the wiki better anyway. So that would be great. Thank you so much, Bobby, for volunteering to post, especially since you're not sure how to do it yet. Let's bring that discussion as well to the email chain, and then hopefully somebody can chime in and explain it in an eloquent way. But great. Okay. I think we've got a good agenda on that. We're at time. If anybody else would like to make any final comments or suggestions for what should be on the agenda for our next call, which may or may not happen in 2 weeks, depending, then this is the right time to do that. Otherwise, again, a really hearty and warm thanks to our presenters and to everybody who participated, and looking forward to our next time soon. So thank you so much. And I guess that's goodbye. Goodbye.
Thanks, Rose.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Rose. Thanks, everyone.